Boker Tov, today's daf is Shkolim daf Tes Zayin. Shkolim daf Tes Zayin. We continue. We're on Tes Zayin of Adalov, just a couple lines down from the third line off the top of the page. We continue our conversation about the Arayin. We were in the middle of a conversation yesterday. We had three shittas about where the Arayin, first of all, was there more than one Arayin? Was there one Arayin or two Arayinus? Was it brought with them to Mechamar or not? Was the Arayin buried, hidden in the Lishkas Aitzim, which is why some of the people would bow down at a 14th spot in the Mikdash where they would bow, was by the Lishkas Aitzim. That was one of the Shitas, the Chamashita, that the Aron was buried there. Was the Aron buried by Mekayim, the Kodesh Kedoshim? Were there two Aronis, one they took to Mechama, one they did not? That was the conversation we ended off with yesterday. We're going to continue our conversation about the Aron and get into actually the dimensions of the Aron, the Luchas. And then we're going to get into the Shemin HaMishcha as well, the Shemin HaMishcha, and we will also finish the daf discussing about the how many dibros were in the luchas. The luchas was there 10 dibros? Same 10 dibros, but was written once? Was written twice? Was written even as many as four times on all four sides of the luchas? That'll be the end of the daf. Okay, says the Gemara, Mishnah Zaron, when the Aron was hidden away, when the Aron was hidden, Nignas Imai. Together with the Aron was hidden in Tzenas Haman, the jar of man. They kept the jar of man as a reminder of Darius that the lechem always comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like man just came, man straight from Shemayim, which was clearly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yad of Hashem. And it wasn't, Kechi Veitzimedi, it wasn't coming from our own doings. They kept it in Tzenas Haman to remember the names, to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu always takes care of us. Vitzluchas, Shem, and really he was reminded not to spend too much time working in the fields and realizing where it all comes from. Vitzluchas, Shem, but they hid that in Sena Aman, at the same time when they hid Aron, Tzluchas Shemin HaMishcha, they also hid the flask of Shemin HaMishcha, the oils for anointing a kohen, a king in certain instances, we'll see. Umakash Aron Parchav Shkedav, the stick of Aron, which had the flowers and the nuts, va'argas sheshiva plishtim asham leikei Yisrael, and the boxes of plishtim we spoke at the end of yesterday's daf, at the plishtim, when Klai Yisrael bought the Aron with them to war, at some point the plishtim took hold, they got possession of it, but it caused them lots of tzaras. So when they sent back a box with like an offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gifts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were so awed by what happened when they had the Aron, they sent them back with a box of gifts. So it was all buried together, all these items, at the same time. Mi ganze, who hid the Aron? Yesheo ganze. Yesheo hid it. Kibitshara, because when he saw the pasuk says, Shekasav, Yelech Hashem Eischa, Hashem's going to lead you and your king, who you never set up over yourself, into a nation that you didn't know. Meaning, you're going to go to Golis, you're going to Bavel. Once he saw Kaisa going to Bavel, he decided to hide the Aron. The Mar doesn't explain why. Amav Gadze, he got up and hid the Aron. Hado the Chsev Yemin Leviim, Avinim L'Chol Yisrael Kadosh Hashem. He showed us that to Leviim, who teach of all of Kaisol, and to those who were Kadosh Hashem, to Nuas Aron Akadosh Bayis, Asher Baruch Shlomo Ben David Ben Melch Yisrael. Place the Aron Akadosh somewhere in the Bayis that Shlomo the son of David Melch Yisrael built. Ain Lecha Masam Avatecha, you won't have it. The mitzvah, the obligation of carrying it anymore on your shoulder. Why? Because what Yeshua was saying was he saw in the future that they're going to Golis, which was actually about 10, 15 years later. He saw they're ultimately going into Golis, into Bavel. And if it goes to Bavel, you'll never be able to bring it back to its place. Once the Aron goes to Bavel, it won't be able to be brought back with you to the place. So therefore, he buried it and didn't want the Aron to leave its spot on the Mikdash to begin with. Ella ata of ivdu as Hashem bekecha and as Am Yisrael. Rather, serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Am Yisrael. Meaning, you'll no longer have the task of carrying the oven, carrying the Aron. You'll no longer have the task of carrying the Aron. Rather, you'll be busy yourself with other tasks of serving Klal Yisrael, teaching, serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, teaching Klal Yisrael Torah mitzvahs, but not the actual carrying of the Aron. That's interesting. There's a machlekes Rambam versus Ramban whether or not the Kehanim or the Levim were the ones that carried the Aron. Meaning, Rambam held it was only the Kehanim. The Ramban held it was even the Levim. These psukim that we're quoting over here very clearly from Yeshua, Vayomer LeLevim, he said to the Levim, right? He said to them, Ein lecha masa b'vatecha. You no longer have to carry the Aron. Sounds pretty clear that the Aron was being carried by Levim as well, not just by the Kehanim. This is a raya that Goyes Yafamara brings, a raya to the Ramban for this psukim against Rambam, that it was also Levim carrying the Aron, not the Kehanim. Not that it was only Levim, but the point is it was Levim, not only Kehanim, not like Rambam. The Sefer Shiari Karban answers with the famous, a famous aside, that we know this Chaftal Mekaimis in Tanakh, where the Pasuk says the word Levim, and it's referring to Kadam. Remember, Kadam also from Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi, Kadam was Shevet Levi is comprised of Kadam and Leviim. So Kadam also part of Shevet Levi. Typically referred to Kadam as Kahanim and Leviim as Leviim. But there's 24 places where the pasuk uses the word Leviim to describe specifically Kahanim. And therefore, says Sefer Shari Kerbin, Rambam could learn, and this is one of those places where the pasuk uses the word Leviim, but it's referring specifically to Kahanim. And yes, still maybe Dafka Kahanim were the ones to hold the Aaron and not the Leviim. Okay, says the Gemara further. Mishum Pitam Shemana Mishcha. We had mentioned about hiding the Shemana Mishcha. So the Gemara now gets a conversation, a long conversation actually. It's going to take us all the way through the much of this Amud about the way of Bimafata formulating the Shemana Mishcha. So the pasuk says, take for yourself, the Gemara paraphrases, skips, it says 500 portions of mur, it says cinnamon, you take the 250 of a certain type of good smelling spices, total there were 1500 portions that were put into this mixture to make the Shemana Mishcha. Okay, Shemazai is a hin. The pasuk further says a hin of olive oil. Shem basalug, that refers to 12 lugim of olive oil. Now here's a key machlekes. Shabay shulkan asekrin within these oil were the roots of all the spices that were listed above. The roots of all four spices listed above were cooked. They were boiled in this olive oil. Divir mer, which 12 lugim of oil for all of that's going to be an obvious concern. 12 lugim of oil for all of those 1500 portions is not that much. I mean, and the point further is, it's going to be a lot of that oil will be boiled out, absorbed into these 1500 portions. We can have left oil to actually anoint the kahanim, the malachim. We'll see. Says the Gemara, different answer. Bereshita, they boiled in the oil. Rabbi Amar, no. Shulkanayim b'mayim, they would actually boil the roots in water. After the roots were boiled, you would remove the roots from the water, and then place some oil on the roots so that the oil could now absorb the flavor of the spices. But the oil was not being absorbed into the roots; it was just being smeared on the roots to give the oil the flavor, the smell, the fragrance of the spices. You then remove the oil, and that oil was the oil of the Shemana Mishcha, kederech shapatman eisen, just like the practice of the people that make perfumes. That's what they do. Hador dechsev Shemana Mishcha chedesh, and that's the lashon pasuk Shemana Mishcha chedesh. So it's machvada the machlekes Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda whether or not the roots were cooked in the oil, and still that was the liquid that was ultimately the oil used for Shemana Mishcha. Or no, the roots were cooked in water. They just put the oil on it afterwards to absorb some of the fragrance, but the oil was really always separate. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Now, our Gemara continues right away with the Braisa, but the Bavli in this conversation, the Bavli when it brings this discussion increases a lot of this Gemara's increases Dav Hey. I think yesterday we said we quoted from Dav Vav, but increases this part is increases Dav Hey, that the Gemara asks that according to your mayor, that you have the question we just pointed out, according to Meir, that you had 1,500 manas cooked in 12 liters of oil, all the oil should be absorbed. What's going on over here? So the Gemara answers unbelievable that according to Meir, it's Maisa Nisim. Is that the only Nisim that happened? There's so many other Nisim that happened in different preparations, different things. Avada, it's Maisa Nisim here as well. And therefore, don't ask kashas on her Meir's mahalach that they cooked the manim in the actual oil. That is the Gemara's answer in creases. With that in mind, look at the next verse, the next brisa. It goes like the same idea that at least in her Meir we're learning it's Maisa Nisim. Rabbi Yehuda was saying it's not Maisa Nisim. In her Meir we're learning it's Maisa Nisim. Let's see the brisa. Tani Rabbi Yehuda Bar Belai says Shemana Mishcha Shasa Maisha Midbar Shemana Mishcha Maisha Midbar the Midbar Maisa Nisim Nasabai. It was done with Maisa Nisim. Mitzchivat Seif was Nisim from beginning to end, and he explains why. Shemitzchiv Lahaya by El Shnei Masalug initially started only 12 lugim of oil. Forget about cooking, even just to smear on all of those manim, all the ikrim, it wouldn't be enough. So take into account now that the fire causes that some of the oil gets absorbed. And the wood, the roots, absorb some of it. And the pot will actually absorb some. And yet there still is enough oil to anoint all of the Mishkan, all the Kalim, Hashulchan v'chol Kalim, the Shulchan of Kalim, the Nair v'chol Kalim, the Men of Nimshchah, Aaron, Kay Gadol, Uban of Kosheves, Mehemluim. And from this oil also was enough to anoint Aaron and all of his sons all 7 days of the Meluyim, and from these oils in the future will be Nimshach. How on earth is there enough oil to do all these things when there wasn't seemingly enough oil to even smear all the roots, and certainly what got absorbed, they got cooked, it must be it was Benes. That is the Rav Yehuda Bar Elai, which really is identical to what the Gemara answers for Rav Meir over there in Croesus. Says Gemara, Well, actually, before we go to this din of Melech, Panim Yafis asked a bomb kasha. Asked the Panim Yafis that according to our mayor, and our second according to Rabbi Yudbalai, that would say that the Shemen of Mishka was made with a nace. We know there's an Isser to copy the Maisa Shemen of Mishka. To be fat in the Shemen of Mishka is an Isser. So Panim Yafis asked, how on earth could a person be having an Isser? The whole thing is only done with Maisa Nisim. If it only can be done with Maisa Nisim, a person cannot, for arbitrary purposes, copy the Shemen HaMishcha. He actually can't physically do it because he can't get the Maisa Nisim. It won't happen. It won't work. He won't, like we just said, the mechanics. If he tries to rub the oil on all those 1500 manim, he won't even have enough. It won't work. The process won't work out. So what's pshat that we even have an Isser to copy Shemen HaMishcha if it's not shaykh to do it anyway? So it's just to try. Get involved with Tmura of Yavale Mahani, of trying. That's typically my idea by Chalais. By a Chalais, he tried to do something, it doesn't work. It's not Chalais. You can be over for the trying to make the, when trying to do the Isser when there's a chalais involved. Over here, it's a physical. It's not so much a chalais. You cannot make the Shemen HaMishcha so without an ace. So the chayr, if no ace is involved, then he won't be able to make Shemen HaMishcha. So what's the issue? What's the Isser of making Shemen HaMishcha? It's a bomb gasha for the Panim Yafis. He suggests that maybe Rav Meir is Maid Rav Yehuda. Rav Meir was just saying that he used to make the Maisa Shemen HaMishcha in Lechatchila in an eifet of nace. That's how they did it. But Avadi is Maid Rav Yehuda that if you cook the roots in water and then rub the oil over the roots and then took the oil off post cooking. Again, Rabbi Yehuda's Malach, which did not require a nace, that would also work. That would work. Not that was the way to lechatchila, but that would also work. And therefore, if even Rabbi Meir agrees to Rabbi Yehuda, it comes out that everyone agrees there is a way, a method to make Shemen HaMishcha without a nace, and that would be the Isser. That's a part of Yafis wants to answer. The Tosfos Rush asks that the Chayra Shemen HaMishcha was Kaddish. How are you allowed to use it as Zar? The Chayra Zar, you shouldn't be able to use the Shemen HaMishcha on it. So the Tosfos brings an interesting drasha. Al Basar, we find such drashas elsewhere about Adam Lemelech, but he used over here also. The Pasuk says Al Basar Adam LeYisach. Says on a regular Adam's Basar, you should not use this oil. Al Basar Adam VeLeMelech. But Melech is excluded from Adam. Melech is different than a regular Adam, and for a Melech he could use these oils. That's Tosfos Rush brings us a drasha why it's permissible to use the Shemen HaMishcha on a Melech. Says Gemara, when did they use the Shemen HaMishcha on a Melech? Says Gemara, Melech Betchilu Tam Meshicha, a king. If he's the first king in his line and his family needs anointing, Melech b'melech, ain't time Meshicha, whereas Melech, a king, the son of a king, does not need anointing. My time, kumashcheo kizehu. Pasuk says, "Legabi David, go and be meshichim, because this is he. Mashma zetam Meshicha, he needs Meshicha because he's not following another king. Yisha wasn't the king. The vein b'nei tam Meshicha, but his son won't need Meshicha. Shleima, who is following a king, namely following David, he will not need Meshicha. Avol kain gadol ben kain gadol, filo ad aser deres tam Meshicha kain gadol. The following kain gadol, even up to 10 deres needs Meshicha. Up to 10 deres doesn't mean till 10 deres. Of course, it means adat b'chol means even." Even 10 deres needs Meshicha, even 100 deres needs Meshicha, Kain Gadol's always need Meshicha. Now we go back to the Brayse of Yehuda. All of the oil, even after doing anointing, all the Mishkan, all the Kalim, all the Kanim, all the Melachim, all of it still exists. Nothing gets used up, it's all still there. Hadod Chziv, Shemen Mishkan Kodesh, Yezeli L'Darisechem. This Shemen will be there for the Darius, even the Shemen, as much as you keep using it, none of it will disappear. Of course, it's all part of the Nase. Emashkan Melachim, Ella Agabi Mayan. When it comes to anointing the kings, you do it next to spring. Shenemar v'yakafta meshleima bni al pirda shili v'ratam isay al gich el gichin next to the waters of gichin. U'mashach says sham tzadik kain rasanavi lemelch Israel, and over there the tzadik kain and rasanavi anointed to be melch Israel. The idea is just like a spring springs forward, represents success, represents. A source of bracha. So too, the king's kingship should be mamshech. It should have hamshacha. It should last. It should have success. The Gemara says this halacha about we said before you're not mamshech a king, the son of a king. So the Gemara really is asking a question. We just said a minute ago that David Melech said the pasuk about David Melech that he should be anointed him, but not his son, because his son's going to be the Melech by Melech. And then we have the Shlomo Melech was anointed specifically in a spot by Gichon. What's going on over here? Some more elaborates without asking the question. The reason why you be Meshach, a king, the son of a king, is when there's a Machleikis there. Why was Shlomo Melech Nimshach by Machleikis of Adonio? Because there was a dispute between him and Adonio. Why was Yayish Nimlech by Asayo? Because there was a discussion, a debate between him and Asayo. Yayachas, why was that Yayachas anointed? Because Yayachim, his brother, Yayachim was actually older than Yayachas 2 years, by 2 years, and still Yayachas came first, therefore he was anointed. Even though they both were the sons of a king. Yehu, why was he anointed by Yerim? Because of Yerim. That's interesting. There's a Machlekes Rashi versus Rambam. When we say when there's a Machlekes, you need to anoint the king. So let's really go opposite. When there's a Melech ben Melech, you don't need to anoint the second king. Why? What's the idea behind it? Because the Chor comes Birusha. It's like automatically Birusha. Kunigadol does come Birusha. But Melech, Malchus, there's an element of Birusha. And since it comes Birusha, it doesn't even require Hamshacha. And therefore, when there's a Machlekes, it needs Hamshacha. What's the pshat on that? So Rashi seems to understand, increases the Tafayim Beis, that when there's a machlekes, no longer is the Yerusha. The Yerusha no longer is working, and now it's working with the Mashiach. So the Mashiach is actually what's making the king. It's no longer working with Yerusha Bechlal. The way they learn it, Rambam, Pesach Mishayis, Rambam Hilchas, in the beginning of I'm forgetting where it was, but the Rambam in the first parak, Rambam brings that the Mashmais of Rambam is that when there's a machlekes, the Yerusha still works. The Hamshacha is just there to dispel any notion in Klal Yisrael. When you anoint the king, that kind of squashes any arguments. It's the inauguration. That squashes arguments about whether it's legitimate king or not. That gets rid of the arguments. But Avad is still working by Yerusha. So it's fundamental Machlekes. Rashi is saying that the Chari Yerusha doesn't work. Once there's a Machlekes, it's a steer. This Yerusha Malchus doesn't have a power when there's a Machlekes, and therefore you need the Mashiach to actually make him king. According to Rambam, it seems like that the Mashiach is not making him king. The king is still coming, kingship is coming by Yerusha, but the Mashiach is simply trying to get rid of Machlekes, which leads to a question, Dachreinim, how can you do that? How could you use Shemana Mishcha, again, Shemana Mishcha's Kedish, how could you use holy Shemana Mishcha just to stop a Machlekes? Especially if it's needed to make him king, that's his job. But if it's there just because it's Machlekes, just to get rid of people's Machlekes, was that a good enough reason to do it? So there's an interesting, Dachreinim discussed this issue in Rambam, very interesting, Avinezer wants to say that we find that by Yerusha, we find the idea that sometimes Yerusha could be uprooted from Freya. Let's say you have a bunch of brothers who divvy up Yerusha, and then the father that died divvy up Yerusha, and then the mother, their mother, had a child a few months later. She was pregnant, but Shas' husband died, had a child a few months later. What would they do? They go back to the drawing board, and the Freya, they undo the Yerusha that they divided and start again, because this child that was just born is entitled to a portion of Yerusha as well. So you would undo the Yerusha of Freya. Says Avnei is a big Yisrael, a big Kiddush. When it comes to Malchus as well, if Gans Klal Yisrael agree unanimously, I'm sure it doesn't mean every single person is Klal Yisrael, but if there's a majority of Klal Yisrael that are agreeing that a certain person should be king, then that person would be the king, in which case it would come out that the Yerusha would be retroactively undone. The Yerusha would be undone because he compares it to the case of a baby being born posthumously after the father died. The Yerusha would be undone because the Gans Klal Yisrael is agreeing to this king. If that's the case, says Avinezer, it's very geschmack. Even according to Rambam, where right now when there's a Machlekes, it goes to Yerusha, and you're just anointing to get rid of the Machlekes, which he's bothered. How you get anointed just to get rid of Machlekes? You're using Hektish just to get rid of Machlekes. The answer is no. Because if you wouldn't anoint with oil, and the brave Klal Yisrael would agree to have a certain person as king, so Tak would undo whatever Yerusha was done, even if Yerusha was still happening, it would undo it, and it would uproot the status of whoever this was that was king till now. So you need the Mashiach to Tak cement the status, even when there's Yerusha. Even when there's Yerusha, you still need the Mashiach, and therefore it wouldn't be considered being Mam Hekdesh. That is the Avnezer's explanation according to this Tzadik Rambam, that there's still Yerusha, but you still need the Mashiach. Okay, says the Gemara, Leikin Ksiv, doesn't it say, Kubashre, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, there were now references to the question that we touched on before. The Mar is asking it. Legabe Yehu, like Kenik to Kubashre Kizehu, Zeto Mashiach Bemachisol to Mashiach. The Mar is bothered now. Doesn't it say that you should anoint David? And we should make a deal from there that who gets anointed? Only Malchus based David gets anointed, whereas the Malchus of Yisrael doesn't have anointing. So why was Yehu, who was Malchus Yisrael, why was he anointed? Says the Gemara. Actually, the Mara first raised another question before answering this first question. Mara says, Yayachas ben Yayakim achiv shagad meshteshanim. Yayachas was anointed because of his brother. Yayakim was 2 years older than him. But didn't Yeshua already hide it? Yeshua, who was the father, already hid it. So how was there any oil left for the son for Yayachas? How does that work? Answer the Gemara both questions with the same answer. We have two questions now. One question is, why are you anointing the Melech of Yisrael? Right? Why are you anointing the only Melech of Yisrael was anointed, not Melech Yisrael? So why was Yehu Melech Yisrael being anointed? Second question is, how on earth are you anointing Yayachas? Yes, you grant he wasn't the older brother. He had a brother 2 years older than him. and he was king first, therefore he anointed him. But his father Yeshio was the one that we quote earlier, that he was the one that hid the Aron. At the same time, the Shem Mishkan was hidden as well. So if his father hid it, how was the son Yayachas anointed at all? The answer is, to both these questions, Hadamar Bafarsman Nimshech, both Yayachas and Yehu, they weren't anointed with the classic original Shem Mishkan oil. They were anointed with, and a Farsman, and a certain balsam oil was used as a replica, as a replacement, but it wasn't the regular Shana Mishka. The Mefarshim point out that obviously it's done as a secret, because the whole point is to avoid machlekes, and it wasn't a real anointing. How would that take care of the machlekes? How would that take care of the issues? Obviously, it was secretive that it wasn't the regular oils, but it wasn't the regular oil. Eimashkan Melachim Elam Karen. You anoint the kings from a karen, from a horn of oil. Shalvi and Nimshach Menapach. Shal and Yehu, they were Nimshach from a pach, from a flask, not from a karen. And Haisa Machus Averus, and the Machus was kind of fleeting. David Shlemish Nimshach Ben Karen, whereas David Shlemish, they were anointed from a horn of oil. Haisa Machus Machus Kemes, their Malchus was a long, prolonged Malchus. Eimai Shechem Kehanim Melachim, we do not anoint kings who are Kehanim. We don't anoint kings who are Kehanim. Amar Rebbe Atun Daira, that's his name. Al Shem La Yosef Mehuda. Al Shem, the Pasuk says that the Sheva should leave Yehuda, the Malchus should leave Yehuda. So it's interesting. Over here, we're specifically saying in this line that you don't anoint a king as a king, because the Sheva mi Yehuda. Sounds like the issue is the possible quoting would be that the Malchus should not leave Yehuda at all. It shouldn't leave Yehuda at all. But we're focused specifically on the king being from Kehanim, right? What about a non-Kayan, non-Sheva Levi, who's also not Sheva Yehuda? Not clear. Sounds like Gemara Amar Chiver Ada Leman Yarchemim Amachte Hu Banim Bekev Yisrael. In order that it should be Mayrich his days on his Malchus, he and his sons Bekev Yisrael Maksiv Basrei Leah Kind of Levim. If it says it shouldn't be Kind of Levim, so the first Shemitah Medayik, based on the first Lashon, the first pasuk Leyas Hashem Yehuda, is Mashpa that no one else can be Malch really besides for Sheva Yehuda. Based on the second pasuk, it was specifically an exclusion of Leah Kind of Levim. Regardless, the Chashmiram of course were Shave it, we're kind of right. So, regardless, there were instances where there were kingdoms. It's discussed to talk if they do the wrong thing. There were instances where there were Kahanim who were kings, but the point is, certainly Kahanim, the VM, should not be king. We're saying the king shouldn't come from Kailevi, and according to the first rush we're bringing, it shouldn't really be anyone outside of Shave it, Yehuda. Says the Gemara, Amar Yechanan, who Yechanan Yehai Achaz. Yechanan and Yechaz the same person. Now, we're bothered that we're saying Yechaz, if you remember, he was one that was king 2 years before his brother, Yayakim, so he was not, even though he was king, sorry, before his brother Yayakim was 2 years older than him, so he was not the oldest brother. Now he's saying Yayachan is Yayachas, and the Pasuk says, you say Yechanan is Yayachas, and the Pasuk says that Yechanan was the Bechar. So how could Yayachas be 2 years younger than his brother Yayakim if Yechanan and Yechaz is the same person, and Yechaz is described as Bechar, says Gemara, Faksiv, a Bechar Yechanan, Bechar Lamalchas. And he wasn't really the Bechar, he was the Bechar of the kingdom, he was king first before his older brother, but he wasn't the actual Bechar. Amar Yechanan. Who Shalom Tzikyo? Then Shalom is the Pasuk, when it lists the sons of Yeshio, it says the fourth son, Mashalom. So says Rabbi Yechanan, the Amira, this Shalom is also Tzikyo, Faksiv, Ashlishi Tzikyo, or V Shalom, but the Pasuk says the third son was Tzikyo, the fourth was Shalom. Sounds like it's two different people. Says Gemara, no. Shlish le'tolados reviyin malchus. He was the third of the sons in terms of age, and he was the fourth in terms of the sons of Yeshua when it comes to malchus. So it's really the same person. The third and fourth, Yeshua and Sitzkiyahu, was one and the same person. Third in terms of age. Fourth in terms of malchus. Sitzkiyahu shetzidik al midas din. Sitzkiyahu, he was called Sitzkiyahu because he was matzdik the midas din. Shalom, why is it called Shalom? Shabiyamav Shalma Malchus Beis David, because the end of the Malchus Beis David was in his days. That's why he had the name Shalom. Reish Lakish Shalom, parentheses, Le Shalom Habishmei, Le Tzikyo Habishmei, Shalom and Tzikyo weren't his names, Elamatia, Matanya. Matanya was his real name. Hadod Chziv, Ve'amich Melch Bavel, as Matanya died at the Melch Bavel, made his uncle Matanya in his place. He's talking about Yechanya, made his uncle Matanya in his place, Vayisav HaShemai, Sitzkiyo, and changed his name to Sitzkiyo, so his name was Matanya, he was also referred to Sitzkiyo, and also Shalom, but his real name, according to this, was Matanya. Now we get to the dimensions of the Aron. Back to the Aron, and dimensions, what was the size of the Aron? We know when we have Amos can either be, the general measurements are an Amma of 5 Tefach Amma, or 6 Tefach Amma. We've had this many times, right? The more generous Amma is a 6 Tefach Amma, or the more tighter Amma is a 5 Tefach Amma. So, Rebbe says the Amma, when we discuss the beginning of the Aron, Our nice the urn was made with am of six tvachim. Man tana ba'amah shishis tvachim. Who is the tana that says it's an urn? The urn was made with am of six tvachim. But maybe it's remembered the time we looked at the Mishnah. Omer kol amis hoyibbeinus. All the amis in the Beis Hamikdash, in the binyan, and in the kalim were all the beinus, meaning the six tvach amis. They were all made from the beinus six tvach amis. Whereas Rabbi Omer makes this distinction. Amis a binyan shisha. The amis for the construction when it came to the actual physical binyan of the Beis Hamikdash, those were six tvach amis. However, shel kalim the am when it comes to the kalim, those amos were only five tefach amos. Shel kalim chamisha al daiti rameir kor demeir. So the rameir just finishes some math over here. Do amar ba ama shel shis tefach amay aron asay arkeshol chamisha as tefachim. We know the aron was 2.5 amos. So if it's six tefach amos, 6 times 2.5 is 15. 15 tefachim was the length of the aron. The chesiv amasay v'chesi arkei am sashita. The first am is 6 tefachim. Am sashita. The second am is 6 tefachim. Upalgas am satlosa. And then half am is 3. 6 plus 6 is 12 plus 3 is 15. The merges. It spells out for spoon feeds for us all the math. Now, Rabbi Echon explains that according to Meir first, in the Aron, there were four luchas, right? Each, they got the luchas twice. Each time, they got luchas, it's plural, two tablets, right? So, all four luchas put in the Aron, Shneim, Shleimim, the two intact ones, Shem Shvurim, the two ones that were shavar, that broken, Luchasim, Sheshibarta, Vasantim Aron, Pasa, Sheshibarta, and place it in the Aron. Haluchas, Hayu, Kolech, Vechon, Arka, Shisha, Tvachim, Rachpay Shleisha. This is actually in the Gersi exactly, but this seems to be universal agreement. The luchos was 6 tefachim long by 3 tefachim wide, so side by side it was 6 tefachim squared. The same rachban shluchos larkan shlaren. They put the width of the luchos of the four luchos, which is 12. Right, were put against the 15 tefachim. The 6 was put against the 15. The shtayr sham. Which leaves you with 3 tvachim. It leaves you with 3 tvachim remaining there to be able to move in and out. Tain mehem chatzi tefach lo kesel. So sorry, 3 tvachim there. Give a half a tefach for each wall. Each wall, the thickness of the walls was each half a tefach. Nishtar shnei tvachim the sefer Torah. There's 2 tvachim left there for the sefer Torah. L'chor, what that means is that the Sefer Torah was put inside there. I think the way I understand it was the Sefer Torah was put inside, and you have 2 tefachim to be able to take in and out the Sefer Torah. Rach v'shal aron, the width of the aron, according to this shita, is tisha tefachim, because remember it was a amah v'chetzi, so it's tisha tefachim, 9 tefachim. There's an amah v'chetzi rachvay. Am sashisa, palgas am satosa. The full amah is 6 tefachim. Half amah is 3 tefachim, it's 9. V'arba luchas hayu, by there were 4 luchas inside it. Shtayim shleimim. It was 2 complete ones, Shem Shvurim, 2 broken ones, Zechziv, Asha Shibart Vesantim Aron, Halucha Seyeh Bekalech Vechon Arkan Shish Tvachim, V'rachman Shlesh Tvachim, Zatein Arkan Shaluches, L'rachman Shal Aron, Nishtar Shem Shlesh Tvachim, Chas Tefach Mekan L'Chais Zeh, Chas Tefach Mekan L'Chais Zeh, V'tfachayim L'Shilut Makam Shisev Tvachim, Menach Oher, the Mar says very clearly, you have a 2 tefachim for controlling the space where you put the Torah in and out. So he went first. We elaborate on the length of the aron. Then we elaborate on the width of the aron. This all going Rabbi Yechiron and going with the view of Rameir. Rabbi Shimon Lach Kishamar ba'ama bas chamisha tefachim aron asay. The aron was made with the ama of 5 tefachim, which Rabbi Shimon Lach is really going. That's really fitting with the view that we had a minute ago of Rabbi Yehuda. That fits with the view of a minute ago of Rabbi Yehuda that it was 5 tefach amas. So, which case says Gemara? Rabbi Yehuda. It's Rabbi Yehuda Shita to Taninan. I skipped. Man Tana ba'amah bas chamisha tefachim. Who is the Tana that says ba'amah 5 tefachim is the kelim of the mikdash? Rabbi Yehuda to Taninan Taman. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer amas the binyan shisha shel kelim chamisha. The amah of the binyan is 6 tefachim. When it comes to the dimensions of the building, when it comes to dimensions of the kelim, it's 5 tefachim. Okay. Now, with that in mind, so if it's 5 tefachim each amah, so 2.5 amas is going to be 5, 5, and 2.5, 12.5, says Gemara. But the Hayan Aron Klihu, this Aron is a Kli, and therefore it gets the 5 Tefach Amas, according to Buda. I'll that to Buda. Do Amar Ba'amah Chashachamish Tefachim Hayarker Asay. So the Aron, therefore we says, very elaborate, the Aron was made with the Amah 5 Tefachim, Shnei Masa Tefach Mechza Lechziv, the Arich is going to be, Hayarker Asay, Shnei Masa Tefach Mechza, the Arich is going to be 12.5 Tefachim, like we pointed out. You have one amas 5 tachim, one amas 5 tachim. That's 10 tachim, and another amma, a half amma, which is 2.5. The 4 luchas are placed in the arayin. Shnayim shleimim, shnayim shurim, 2 broken and 2 intact. Tachsiv, asha shibart v'santam arayin. Haluchasay, kalach vechad arkan shisha. Again, no machlex about that. The luchas, each one was a length of 6 tachim long. The rachvan, shleisha, tachim, and the width was 3 tachim. Tenar, rachvan, shaluchas, put the width of the luchas, l'archa shel aron, the width of the luchas, which is 12 tefachim, the 4 luchas, right? 4 times 3 is 12. The 4 luchas, put the width of it along the 12.5 length of the aron, v'nishtayr, what he left with, shem chasi tefach. He left only half tefach. What happened to the walls? Whereas the first opinion held each wall was a half tefach, this opinion has told the walls themselves were only a finger breadth wide. The width of the aron, according to this man, again, was am and a half, instead of being 9 tefachim now, since it's 5 tefach amas, was 7.5 tefachim. It says the aron was an am and a half wide, which is 5 plus 2.5, 7.5. Of tefachim, so you left with 7.5. Varba luchas, so you buy there was again 4 luchas there in aron, shleim two intact, shleim shvum two broken. So again, you have all 4 luchas in aron. We already have that the width of 4 lined up side by side, 3 tefachim each, comes to 12. So you put that against the length of the aron, and the height of the luchas, which is 6, is going to be put against the width of the aron. Says the Gemara, haluchas hayakalecha vechad arkad shish tefachim. The luchas, each one was a length of 6 tefachim, v'rachman shleisha tefachim, a width of 3. That summary is relevant now. Tain arkan the reichvei shall aron. Put the length of the luchas against the width of the aron, so the 6 is going in the 7.5 space. You have tefach chametzah space left over there. Etzba case mekan. Again, the walls were squared. Was squared. An etzba for each wall. Chatz tefach mekan. Chatz tefach mekan. L'shilat. And you have a half tefach on each side for maneuvering the luchas themselves within the aron. So again, just to quickly synopsize, very, very straightforward. The luchas were comprised of 2 tablets. It was 6 tefachim tall. Each one of the tablets were 3 tefachim wide. So each one of the luchas, each one of the 2 sets of luchas were 6x6. So the total would be actually 6x12. That's the total. We're saying the 12 of width, right? The two luchas side by side equal 12. That was always against the length of the aron, according to both shitas. And the height of the 6, that was against the width. And the machlekes, was it 12 within 15? Or was it 12 within 12 and a half? And was it 6 within 9? We're talking about the height, which is 6, was it within 9 of the, which is the width of the aron, 9 tefachim, or, which according to Yehuda, according to Meir, or was it 6 within 7 and a half, which is the width of the aron according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, there's going to be machlekes, just to get ahead of ourselves, coming up very shortly, whether or not, when we talk about the aron, was it plated with gold, or was it 3 separate pieces, right? Gold, wood on the inside, and gold on the outside. Right? Gold inside, wood around the gold, and then gold around the wood. So was it 3 separate pieces, or was it one piece? The Achrayim want to say, very nice l'shtasei, that if you hold it to etzpa thick, it would make sense that it was wooden, a wooden box that was plated inside and out with gold, not separate pieces. If you say that the thickness was a tefach, right, a chatzi tefach on each side, that makes more sense. A chatzi tefach is thicker. Chatzi tefach, a tefach, typically we say it's about 4 inches. Chatzi tefach is called 2 inches. You have more thickness there, so it could be you had over there 3 separate pieces. You had wood on the inside, an actual separate insert of gold on the outside, on the inside, and on the outside. They want to make the tumach leikas and potentially tell these episodes. Okay, Ketzad as Basal's aron, had our Basal build the aron. Rav Chanina Amar Shalosh Tevas Asay, he made it from 3. It's literally the next line. Shalosh Tevas Asay, he made it from 3 boxes. Shteiv Shalzav Vachash Eitz, 2 of Zav, 1 of 8. So basically put the gold inside the wood, and then the wood and the gold inside another gold. So it was, and then he covered the room with gold. To include even the upper rim was covered. So that's 3 separate pieces put together. He made 1 box of wood that he coated it from both sides with gold. Again, what's the repetition? To include that even between the boards, even between the slabs of the board, the wood, the wooden slabs, there was gold in that space as well, to make it like a flat coat of gold inside. Okay. Ketzap, again, that's the machlekes, whether it was 3 separate pieces or 1 piece that was coated. Ketzad are luchas ksuvim, how are the luchas written? Rav Chanina Gamliel Eimer, chamisha luchas, chamisha luchas out, which is the way we depict it in our whether it's on the aron, whether it's on the preichas of our shuls, or sometimes you have it on the aron kodesh. Yeah, we depict it as 5 dibros on one side, 5 on the other side. That's the common way that we view it. You write the ten divers on the 2 luchas, 5 on one side, 5 on the other side. Rabban Amri, asar luchas, asar luchas. No, it was both. All the ten divers were on both of the tablets, on both sides. Asar luchas. Hadod chesiv veyagel lechem es briyasei Asher tzivas chem lases aseres advarim asara luchze vasara al luchze. Rav Shimon leyechay amir esrim al luchze v'esma luchze. There were 20 on each side. There was 20 on this side, 20 on that side. Tichsev veichtevim b'shne. It says veichtevim al shnei luchas avanim. We darshin esma luchze v'esrim al luchze. Rav Shimon amir arbaim al luchze v'arbaim luchze. There were 40 on each side. Tichsev mizem mizem k'suvim. On all sides, it was written tetraga, like it was written four times on all sides. So it's 40. On this tablet and 40 on that tablet. Each tablet had the appearance of the luchas on all four sides. Chananya ben Achi, Reb Shua Aimer, Ben Kol Dibur Dibur, in between each of the dibros, Tiktigav Esia Shal Torah, where the details and the letters of the Torah were there, Tiktigav Memulah Metarshish, Kiyama Rabbah, like a great sea. Reb Shimon Lakish Kanavi, Mati Hadin Kari, Reb Shimon Lakish, when he reached his Pasuk of Emmy, would say, Yaflam Deni Chananya ben Achi, Reb Yeshua. Ma hayamazeh, just like the sea, the metaphor of the sea for the luchas is a gvaldig metaphor. Ma hayamazeh ben gadol legal gadol galim ktanim. Even between the big waves, there are small waves. Kach ben kol dibur diktuv esiyah shalter. So too between the dibros of the luchas, also this diktukah, the details and letters of the Torah. Amar Rav Tzadok Chumah. Now this is going. We have a machlekes read between Rameir and Rebuda, where the Sefer Torah, we've got to circle back to it in Rebuda, but in Rameir, we had the Sefer Torah put into the Aron. In Rebuda, there's no space for the Sefer Torah, wasn't put in the Aron. So we have a machlekes about whether the Sefer Torah is in the Aron. Arba Techuma is Kashias Kumir Pinchas. I raise the following question from the Pinchas. I see Rebuda, Lechaira, the Pasuk goes like Rebuda, Vlask Rameir, the Pasuk I'm about to quote, goes like Rebuda, like Rameir, my time in the Rebuda. What's Pshan Rebuda? What's the source? Techsiv, Lechaira Sefer Torah, Zev, Sandam, Isim, it's sad. Aron Bris Hashem, put it at the side of the Aron Bris Hashem. Adai did Rida. It's good. Dain Amar Hechana Yisefet Torah Nosen. Kimin Gluska Suyu Lamuchutz. There's like a box made outside the Aron on the side, and by Yisefet Torah Nosen, Masayach Yisefet Torah was put inside it. But that fits very well, Kimida. And the Yisefet Torah was not put in the Aron. But according to me, the Yisefet Torah was in the Aron itself. What's the Lashon that the Pasuk says that was placed on the side of the Aron? My time there. Mayor is a different Pasuk. Tachsiv. Vinasatas a kaparis al urn mamala vel urn, titan as edus, it says put the kaparis al urn mamala, and on the urn put, it's edus ashetalech, put on the urn the testimony, which refers to the Torah, put it on the urn. So this passage is pretty clear that the urn, that the Sefer Torah is put inside the urn. Says Gemara, adaita dirbuda, du amar, ein mukta mukha b'tayra. According to Buda, this means to say that there's no mukta mukha b'tayra, ella, vela urn titil esa edus ashetalecha, vachach vinasatas a kaparis al urn mamala, the urn put the Aedus, I'll give you, and afterwards put the cover from above, so it's still going on the side, and you put the cover from above afterwards. Pinchas B'Shem Rav Shimon Lakish says, HaTayra Nasha Nasa Lai Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Maisha, the Torah Kadosh Baruch Hu gave to Maisha, Nidalei Eish Levana Charusa Beish Shechira. It was given to him as a white fire, written with black fire. He Eish, Tayra's fire, Mavlalas Eish, it's mixed with fire, Chatsuva Eish, it was hewn from fire, Nesunam Eish, it was given from fire, Tichsiv Miminai Eish Teslamai, from his right hand, he promised the fire of the Torah to them. So the Torah, not that the Gemara Sillah weren't really that Gada, it was descriptive of the size of the Aron and the Luchas and the making the Shem and Mishka. This last Gemara is clearly an Agata Gemara to end off with, to discussing the scene of the Torah, how it was all imbued with fire. Next mission, we'll get to the bows, the 14 places they bowed. We'll leave that for tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.